or whatever. You don't have to be loud here. I know. No, it's working for the back side of you. So here you'll be thinking that things. It's a facade.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله الكريم نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, and dear listeners in Islam, as all of us know very well, that the month of Ramadan is coming to an end. We are in the last ashara, and the last portion of the month of Ramadan. And the demand of this fasting, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, the demand and the outcome of fasting is actually that we should adopt the quality of taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah has prescribed fasting so that we can gain the quality of taqwa. The quality of the fear of Allah. The quality that a person stays away from the disobedience of Allah and he can be perpetually in the obedience of Allah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse of the Quran mentions in Surah Talaq, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned so beautifully that if the ummah has to hold only on this one verse of the Quran, it will be sufficient for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, if the ummah has to hold only on one verse of the Quran, it will be sufficient for them. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse of the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ When a person fears Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا Allah makes openings for that person. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ When a person fears Allah, Allah opens up such avenues for that person which he cannot even imagine for his sustenance. This is the promise of Allah in the Quran. When a person develops that level of taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the levels for him. That's why when this quality of taqwa has to actually translate in a man's body, in our lives, what is the demand of taqwa? What are the qualities of the muttaqeen? In many places in the Quran, if a person opens up the Quran, in many places Allah speaks of what is the actual quality of the muttaqeen. And we have to check our life, use it, and see in which qualities are those qualities in our life, so that the actual transmission of our life comes onto taqwa from where we were while we are fasting. We have to adopt this taqwa. And those taqwa demand certain qualities. Right in the beginning of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين هدى للمتقين Who are the muttaqeen? الذين يؤمنون بالغيب The first quality which Allah speaks of the muttaqeen, a person that has the quality of taqwa, is he believes in the unseen. He believes in the maghibat. He believes in everything that Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us, which we cannot see, the mention of the grave, the mention of qiyamah, the mention of the mizan, and sirat, and jannah, and jahannam. We believe in these. When sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, my beloved brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, when they believed in this, And they had firm faith in Allah. When they believed in the maghibat, they believed in Allah and every promise of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the unseen system of this world and the seen system of this world. All the entire kainat became subservient to them. You know, they speak about the four elements. They speak about water, and they speak about wind and fire and earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a sahabi like Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, open the books of history, and you'll see in the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, all four elements of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it subservient to him, as he wanted. When it came to water, Umar bin As radiallahu ta'ala an, he was the governor of Egypt. At that time the conquest of Egypt had taken place. He was the governor of Egypt, and there was a problem with the river Nile. The water was going very low. So he wrote a letter to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, stating that the custom of the people of Egypt used to be that they would take a beautiful young girl and they would decorate her and sacrifice her life by throwing her inside the river Nile. And this was the way that the water would rise. But we as Muslims, this is not our culture. What should we do? Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote two letters back. Two letters. One letter he wrote to Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala an, as the governor of Egypt. And the second letter he wrote directly to the river Nile. He wrote the letter, Min Umar ibn al-Khattab ila Nili Misr. This letter is from Umar bin Khattab to the river Nile. And he told Amr bin As, when you receive this letter, throw it on the bed of the river Nile. And ulama and historians have written, from that day onwards, when it was thrown, the river Nile raised 16 arms lengths. And since that day until today, the river Nile has never ever become dry. My beloved brothers and elders, when they believed and they got the transmitted into the quality of taqwa, it actually played into their life. The system of this world became favorable for them. That which a father today, to his living son, he writes a letter. His living son does not be obedient to his letter. His son, Ya Umar radiallahu ta'ala, writes to the river Nile, and the river Nile becomes obedient to his command. And when it came to the wind, Umar radiallahu ta'ala was standing on the mimbar of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was delivering the khutbah for Jumu'ah. And in his khutbah, he stopped for a moment and he started saying, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, Ya Sariya al-Jabal. And Sariya radiallahu ta'ala an, he was thousands of kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. And he heard, while he was with the campaign with the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, he heard the voice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu transmitted to him, to his ear, to say that move towards the mountain because the enemy is coming from the back. Years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this wind subservient to them. When it came to the fire, then the lava, there was an eruption of volcano that came in Medina Munawwara, and it was coming towards destroying the houses of Medina. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu got the news. He came to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He seen a sahabi by the name of Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala an. He said, Oh Tamim, stand up. We have a problem in front of us. He asked, what is the situation? He said, the lava from the volcano is coming into Medina Munawwara. Tamim Dari said, this relationship was between me and Allah. But because you are the Amirul Mu'mineen and you have commanded me, I'll be obedient to you. Tamim Dari, with the movement of his one hand, without touching the fire, with movement of his hand, he pushed the fire back into the mouth of the volcano from where it came. My beloved brothers and elders, when it came towards the earthquake that started, the earth started shaking in Medina Munawwara. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was walking in Medina. He took out his whip and he hit the earth. And he said, oh earth, you are shaking and you want to tremor and you want an earthquake to take place. When I'm a believer, a servant of Allah that is obedient to Allah walking on you. This was the obedience. When this taqwa, my beloved brothers, when they believed in Allah in the true sense, Allah made everything subservient to them. The qualities of taqwa need to come into our life. In the verse of the Quran which I recited in the khutbah, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah mentions, hasten, run towards Jannah, the distance which is between the skies and the earth, which has been solely and mainly prepared for the muttaqeen. Allah speaks in the Quran. If you want the quality of taqwa, adopt this quality. Jannah is promised for you. Jannah is promised for you. What is the quality of the muttaqeen? The first quality Allah speaks of. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. The first quality of the muttaqeen. Allah speaks of it in the Quran by stating that they are those people that spend in the path of Allah. Whether they are in a good condition of spending or whether they are in a tight and difficult condition of spending. This is a quality of taqwa, that a man realizes what I have by me is actually given to me by Allah. And this what I have by Allah is actually needs to go and be given back to those people that are deserving. So he spends from his wealth without fearing any kind of poverty. Whether he's in a situation that he has wealth or whether he's in a situation where he's difficult. In the difficult situation, he understands that spending in the path of Allah is the quality of the muttaqeen. Actually, the narrations when we see in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a person that had nothing in his possession. In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was nothing in his home. Yet when we look at the life of his spending, it is mentioned in the month of Ramadan, he was ajwad min ar-rih al-mursila. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more generous than a strong blowing wind. More generous than that was the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Ramadan. Imagine when this quality transmitted into Sahaba. One verse of the Quran that was revealed. One verse. من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا. One verse of the Quran that was revealed. Who's there to give Allah a beautiful loan? To give Allah a loan. A Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Dahdah radiyallahu ta'ala an. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْتَقْرِضُنَا وَهُوَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْقَرْضِ. Allah is asking us for a loan when Allah is ghani. Allah is independent. Allah is not in need of our money. But Allah is asking me of a loan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, نَعَمْ يُرِيدُ أَن يُدْخِلَكُمُ الْجَنَّةَ بِهِ. Allah is opening a new avenue. Allah is opening a new road for you to actually get yourself into Jannah. That's why Allah is making this opportunity. He says, فَإِنِّي إِنْ أَقْرَضْتُ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يَضْمَنُ لِي بِهِ وَلِصِبْيَةِ الدَّحْدَاحِ مَعِيَ الْجَنَّةِ. O Nabi of Allah, I want the guarantee that if I give in charity something today, I want the guarantee that me and my children go to Jannah. This is all I want. This is one verse of the Quran. I'm showing you when the quality of taqwa came in these people's lives. One verse of the Quran, how easy it was for them to give in the path of Allah. فَإِنَّ لِي حَدِيقَتَيْنِ. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have two farms or two gardens. فَإِنَّ لِي حَدِيقَتَيْنِ لَا أَمْلِكُ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَمْلِكُ غَيْرَهُمَا. At this moment, I only own these two gardens. إِحْدَاهُمَا بِالسَّافِلَةِ وَالْأُخْرَى بِالْعَالِيَةِ. He says, I have two gardens. The one is in Safila, the one is in Aliyah. In the bottom section of Medina, the other one is in the top section of Medina. جَعَلْتُهُمَا قَرْضًا لِلَّهِ. Allah wants the loan. This is all that I possess. I give it over in the path of Allah. I give it over in the path of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam comes to him and says, give one and keep the other one for your family and your children. He says, O Nabi of Allah, if you say I can give one and keep one for my family, the better of the two I will give it in the path of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَنْ يُجَزِيكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ. If you give it, Allah will give you Jannah. He comes to his farm. He comes to his land, which he has given now already to Allah. As he approaches the land, As he comes close to the place where he has given over to Allah, he sees his wife and he sees his children. And it was the general custom of the Arabs that they would enjoy the dates. They would enjoy the dates and they would eat the dates. And they were taking shade under the shadow of the beautiful trees of his date orchard. And they were listening to the flow of the water and the chirping of the birds and the beautiful breeze that was going through the trees of the land. And he comes from outside the garden and he sees the situation of his family inside, and he starts saying in words of poetry, to tell them, come out of the garden has been given over to Allah. Telling their, his own family, because now this has been given over to Allah. He says, Hadaki Rabbi Subul al-Rashadi ila sabir al-khayr wa-sadadi bayni min al-ha'it bil-wadadi faqad mada qardan ila al-taladi aqradtuhu Allah ala atimadi bil-taw' ila manna wal-artidadi illa raja' al-di'if bil-yam'adi fartahili bil-nafsi wal-awladi والبر لا شك فخير الزاد قدمه المرء إلى المعادي. They hear this beautiful, on the spur of the moment he makes up the words of poetry to encourage him to come out. And his wife hears these words, she also becomes happy. And she says, this has been given over to Allah. And she starts taking the children out. وَتَخْرُجُ مَا فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتَنْفُذُ مَا فِي أَكْمَامِهِمْ. The children have their dates in their mouth. They're busy eating the dates. She takes out the dates from their mouth. She says, these dates have been given over to Allah. And they have their pockets and their sleeves. وَتَنْفُذُ مَا فِي أَكْمَامِهِمْ. You know, small children, when you give them something, my son Abdurrahman, someone gives him something, and he holds one in the right hand, one in the left hand, one in his mouth, one in his pocket. This is how children are. The children, she sees her own children in this condition. And she starts emptying their pockets. And she starts emptying what is in their mouths and taking them out. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to see the situation that this garden they have given over to Allah. He becomes so happy, so happy. He says, "Kam min azqin radah, wadarin fayah li abid dahdah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallah, wallah, on this one sacrifice you have made, O Abu Dahdah, you don't know how many gardens Allah will give you in Jannah. You don't know how many orchards, how many vineyards, how many blessings Allah will give you, O Abu Dahdah." One sacrifice that he made. These qualities came in their life. There are two angels. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, there are two angels. These two angels have no other job, no other duty, besides that one makes dua every morning and the other one curses every morning. The one that makes dua every morning, he says, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. Oh Allah, you give the one that gives. The one that gives in the path of Allah, you multiply it for him. You give him back. And the one that holds back, the other angel, he curses every morning. This angel's only job is to come from the heavens to the earth and curse and say, Allahumma a'ti mumsikan talafa. Oh Allah, the one that holds back, you take it away from him. Oh Allah, the one that pulls back, you destroy it for him. You destroy whatever he has, what is holding back. Actually, the narration teaches us, when Allah created Jannah, shakka fiha anharaha. Allah created Jannah and then made the rivers of Jannah to flow. The rivers of Jannah are not like this world that flow in the ground. The rivers of Jannah flow above the ground. And on the command of the Jannati, it can go up and it can go down. If he wants it to go up behind his room, in his house, however he wants, the rivers of Jannah flow on the command of the Jannati. وَدَلَّ فِيهَا ثِمَارَهَا. Then Allah made the fruits of Jannah that they are hanging close by. Then Allah told Jannah, speak. Allah told Jannah to speak. And Jannah said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Jannah said, definitely successful are the believers. Because they are going to enter me. Jannah knew what was its own value. Jannah said, definitely successful are the believers. Then Allah said, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَا أُجَاوِزُكِ فِيكِ بَخِيلُ. I take an oath on my honor and my grandeur. A person that is a miser will never enter Jannah. A person that is a miser, a person that holds back, He will never enter Jannah. My beloved brothers and elders, Quran speaks of a beautiful incident. This is what has to translate in our life. What we have is not ours. What we have is actually to be spent on mankind, so that deen can come alive. The command of Allah can come alive. Otherwise, israf takes place, and expenses and wastage takes place. In the time, Allah speaks of it in the Quran. There was a father, and he had three sons. Listen carefully to the incident, beloved brothers and elders, mothers and sisters. It is a lesson for this ummah until the day of Qiyamah. A father with three sons, and the father had what we would say, you know, he's old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. He comes from the old school of thought. This is what we would think. And he had these beautiful, lush fields. And when the crops were ready for harvesting, the poor people would come there, the beggars, you know, people of low class would come. And the father would just take out and give them for free, and take and give them for free, and take and give them for free. So the sons of this father, the father passed away. And when the next harvest came up, that they were going to now harvest the crop, these three sons made mashwara, and they had a decision amongst themselves. You know, our father was old school. Now we're going to harvest. Anybody that comes must pay. No one will get anything for free. Because this is now, you know, our father was not competent. He wasn't in level of what is the need of the hour. The need of the hour is different. They looked away of what was the simple charity of their father. Quran speaks about this incident. All three sons, they made the decision. The middle son, he had some hesitation. He said, no, our father... But they overruled the middle son's opinion. Quran says this. They overruled the middle son's opinion. And they made a decision that tomorrow whoever comes must pay for whatever he gets. فَانْطَلَقُوا Allah speaks of it in the Quran. Entire scenario, Allah paints it beautifully in the Quran. فَانْطَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ Allah says, they were coming and they were discussing among themselves that any miskin comes today, he must pay money. He must pay money. When they left that morning, listen to the decision of Allah. And Allah makes decisions on what is happening in our hearts. What we decide here, what our actions we present and what is in our hearts. This is how Allah makes decisions. They made the decision in their heart. They left early in the morning to go to their farm and for harvesting. Allah says, فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ فَتَنَادَوْا مُسْبِحِينَ When they came there in the morning, every single thing that they had was destroyed. Allah sent a punishment at that night that destroyed everything that they had. They said, I think we came to the wrong farm. We came to someone else's farm. The other brother said, no, it is our farm. The middle brother said, I told you, don't make such decisions. We would have rather practiced on what our father said and give the poor a little amount of what we had. We would have had our entire harvest. Allah destroyed everything. Allah, when they made the decision that they are not going to give from their wealth, and they're not going to give from their farm, Allah destroyed everything. My beloved brothers and elders, Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimahullah has mentioned, when a person gives in the path of Allah, Allah gives his in five different ways, in five different blessings he gets. The first, Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimahullah has mentioned, Allah purifies his wealth. When a man gives, he has $1,000, he gives $100, the other 900, Allah purifies it and protects it. Allah purifies it and protects it. He says the second is, Allah spiritually elevates that person because it is an ibadah. And an ibadah of giving, Allah spiritually elevates him. The third thing he says, that it is a means of cure to the sick. It is a, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Da'u mardakum bis sadaqah. Wallah, your child is sick exactly like how you take out time to go to the doctor and to go look at the physician and to make him make a decision on your child. Take out $5. This is actually the way for our cure. Take out some money. Slaughter an animal. Someone is sick. Slaughter an animal and give the meat in charity. The other way the scholars have mentioned is build a well in areas where people don't have water. In India, Pakistan, in Africa, people are suffering without water. Build a well in the name of the person in whose well you have built. Wallah, it will be a means of cure for such people. This comes from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fourth blessing which the scholars have written, Abu Layth Samarqandi has mentioned, he said, idkhalu surur, it brings happiness. A man is poor, he's suffering for days without food. And that one slice of bread, or that little meal that you give him, it brings happiness to the heart of the poor person. And he said, the fifth blessing is Allah puts barakah in the well. One is a man earns, but there's no barakah. Before he knows it's coming in, it's gone out. When barakah comes into a well, it will be a small amount that will be sufficient for many people. So the first quality, actually I was going to speak on about four or five qualities. The first quality was الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, that a person needs to spend in every condition. The second quality of the muttaqeen, which Allah speaks of in the Quran, is وَالْكَاظِبِينَ الْغَيْضِ, that a person has to control his anger. Control your anger. Sometimes people think, you know, because I'm fasting, I can get upset. You say, don't go to your father, he's fasting now, he might get upset. It's like the right, you know. He has the right of becoming angry because he's fasting. Wallah, beloved brothers and elders, there are so many issues, so many issues. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned so beautifully, it was the time of the tabi'een and the sahaba who used to perform salat and tahajjud the whole night. It wasn't only in the month of Ramadan. Their masjids were abad. And their masjids were 24 hours with people in the masjid the entire year round. There were people that used to read tahajjud and they would cry in the masjid. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the next day he said, don't be deceived by someone crying at the time of tahajjud. Don't be deceived by someone crying at the time of tahajjud. A true Muslim is what Rasulullah SAW has said, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. A true Muslim is the one that other Muslims are saved from the harm of his hands and the harm of his tongue. He's saved from the harm of his hands and the harm of his tongue. Beloved brothers and elders, there is husn akhlaq, good character on the one side, which is the demand of the hour, husn akhlaq. And the climax of husn akhlaq is husn kalam. Is the climax. Because husn akhlaq cannot come into existence, good character cannot come into existence without good speech. In a good manner, in a polite manner, in a nice manner, in a decent manner. Wallah, look at how homes are breaking. Because people don't know how to speak. Husband and wife problems, mother-in-laws and daughter-in-law problems. People don't know how to speak. People look in this time and age, the fitna of the time is how children speak to their parents. How people speak. People are making ghibat. They make backbiting about people. Wallah, backbiting in Islam is worse than zina. Worse than zina. Eating a juicy piece of flesh of gossip. Gossip. And where is it happening? Where is it happening? Wallah, unfortunately, it's happening in the masjid. Not even the Baytullah is safe. People are sitting in Baytullah and they're sitting in Medina Munawwara and they're eating a juicy piece of gossip. Juicy. And they're feeling their pleasure of speaking and making ghibat. That's why the scholars mentioned so beautifully that Allah gave us two shutters. The lips. Two shutters. And when those shutters open, then there are 32 locks. 32 locks. Those teeth that are around that tongue, so that when that tongue speaks, then only beautiful flowers and roses come out. Otherwise, only thorns will come out. And when it harms someone, you know, when you read the books of poetry, when they give the similarity of a human being's heart in poetry, then they give it as a similarity of a mirror. You ever seen a mirror that has a crack? It's so apparent. It's so obvious that it has a crack. And when the heart cracks, and when the heart breaks, it becomes exactly like a mirror that is broken. And to put that mirror together, you can join it and you can put glue, but it's never like a perfect mirror. It's never like a perfect mirror. That's why we have to watch this tongue and what we speak. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala an, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, O Nabi of Allah, will people go to Jahannam because of their tongue? A great sahabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took out his tongue. He took out his tongue and he held his tongue. He said, O Mu'adh, you are speaking about this? He took out, you know, normally when he's a young kid, then you practically show that kid. You're talking of a tongue, what else are we talking about? Rasulullah s.a.w. like a young child taught this sahabi, Mu'adh bin Jabal, he said, you're talking about this? He said, O Mu'adh, majority of the people will be thrown headlong into Jahannam because of the misuse of this tongue. It's how we speak, my beloved brothers. It is so important. In a narration Imam Bukhari has mentioned, a person will do such good actions until he'll come to the door of Jannah. Until he'll come to the door of Jannah, and then he'll say just one kalima, just one word, just one statement that will be so unpleasing to Allah that Allah will throw him headlong into the fire of Jahannam. Headlong into the fire of Jahannam. That's why, my beloved brothers and elders, والكاظمين الغيظ, to hold a person's anger, and in holding a person's anger to develop our character, and the highest level of character is that we speak in a very kind and nice way, especially those that are living with us, especially those that we interact with, to speak in a nice and comfortable way. It is so important that we learn how to speak and to teach our children in our homes how to speak. One is adab. You see a young kid, he's wearing an expensive shirt and an expensive jeans, and his watch that is worth probably thousands of dollars, and his cell phone of hundreds of dollars, an expensive car that he's driving, and everything of the best, and he comes out, and when you hear him speak, just ugly words. What beauty is there? What everything of dunya wise the best, but when it comes to akhlaq, when it comes to character, when it comes to speaking qualities, he has nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and give us the best of this world and the best of akhirat, and accept from us this month of Ramadan, our ibadat, whether we did in the day and the night. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the qualities of the muttaqeen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.